starring Noah Wyle. The Guardian calls it the TV show of the moment, now streaming on HBO Max.
I wanted to use my voice and I wanted to use my platform. And in that moment, I had the voice and a platform to say just that. It's nothing less than that. It's nothing beyond that. Exactly what I said. We deserve space.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Envelope. Kelvin Washington, Yvonne Vitterdial. We have Mark Olson as well. Hopefully, you all have been great since the last time I saw you. Everybody been good?
Of course.
Well, I tell you what, there's a list of folks who've been very good because they've been nominated for an Oscar. And obviously, you kind of get the usual suspects, if you will. And then you get some surprises out there, some folks you go to, whoa. So I want to start with you. Either of you can jump in on this. Just someone that maybe surprised you, maybe a film or something that you were just excited, or maybe someone said, them again, or that film again, or something like.
Well, I think it was very exciting that, you know, Sinners got the most nominations of any film ever. It was 16 nominations. It was nominated in every category that it was eligible for, I think. To see a movie that has like had commercial success, felt like a cultural moment, now being recognized, you know, somewhere like the Academy Awards, it's just exciting to see that sort of like all coming together and rolling along for that film, regardless of how it turns out at, you know, at the show.
I was very excited to see Rose Byrne get acknowledged for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, because I felt like I was worried about that movie losing steam after all the raves it got at Sundance. And it's a smaller movie. I wasn't sure, like, are people going to remember it? But I just think she's so great in that film. I was sort of surprised that Chase Infinity didn't get nominated
because of the nature of the movie. Like, you know, the whole lead supporting business was tough. And also her being, you know, first time, you know, first movie, it's a little harder to get that nomination, especially, you know, those in lead actress faced with, say, Kate Hudson. You don't directly know that, you know, whose spot is whose, but, you know, someone who's been in the business for a long time, is much beloved in the industry, has obviously family historical ties to Hollywood. So it's like, it's interesting to see how even in the nominations, this sort of alchemy of like a little of this, a little of that, as far as like who the Academy was choosing to recognize.
Mm-hmm. You know, I go back to something you said, Mark, when you go to Sinners, I mean, I think a lot of folks will be happy too. You mentioned it's just kind of the blockbuster feel of it, getting people's butts to the theaters, spending money, and also kind of original. We've had vampire movies before, but, you know, you get the Transformer 12s and Expendable 32s. So it was, you know, kind of, I think a lot of folks were excited to see that, something original that also had commercial success as well. Another film that had a bunch of success, we know that, is One Battle After Another. You had a chance to speak with a star from there who's been a star in her own right musically, but now into the film world with Tiana Taylor.
That's right. Yeah. And it's so exciting. You know, so she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress. You know, this is a long movie. It's over 2.5 hours long. She essentially more or less exits the picture about 30 minutes in. And so I think it says something about the strength of her performance that she's still, her character kind of hovers over the rest of that movie. You feel her in the movie, even though she's actually not on screen. So at the Oscar nominees luncheon recently, we had a chance to sit down with Tiana, and she was just so vibrant, so like full of energy, really like has a great attitude about this moment for herself. I mean, she's had, you know, she just recently won a Golden Globe. She hosted Saturday Night Live. Like, so much is like happening for her in a seemingly like right now. And she's just got this real, like, taking it all in, very open to it. It was like, it was really an exciting conversation.
Yeah. Culmination of all her hard work. All right. Well, here is Mark's conversation with Tiana Taylor.
For the Los Angeles Times and The Envelope, I'm Mark Olson. I'm here today with Tiana Taylor, who's a nominee for Best Supporting Actress for One Battle After Another. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. And so we're here today. It's at the Academy Nominees Luncheon.
Yes.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were just at the Super Bowl. About a week before that, you were a nominee at the Grammys. About a week before that, you hosted Night Live. About a week before that, you won a Golden Globe, and you're here today as an Academy Award nominee. I'm sure I'm leaving some things out. I would even say, what's the last year been like for you? But I feel like, what's the last month or two been like for you? It feels like the rocket ship has really taken off.
Yeah, it's really taken off. And I'm so blessed, and I'm so honored, and I'm filled with so much gratitude. I think, you know, to just see so many prayers get answered all at once, where I'm also okay with one at a time, but it's all happening, you know? And I'm just beyond blessed. And like we was talking about earlier, just how much fun I'm having with it. You know, I'm really having a good time and I'm taking it all in because life is short and life is so fragile. So I just try and take time to enjoy life and enjoy my blessings and just enjoy just being alive and well, you know?
And has there been a moment that felt the most surreal? Like, what is happening to me right now moment?
Honestly, all of it, because it reminds me of like a slingshot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, here's the way, here's the way, here's the way, here's the way, here's the work, here's the prayers, here's the tears, here's the, just here, 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 here. And then, and it just knocked down, whatever the ball hit, it knocked down everything at once. And that's what this feel like. So, you know, it feels really good because literally everything is happening at the same time. So it's not like only one moment or only two moments that's making me feel this way. It's everything, you know, the small wins, the big wins, the medium wins, like every single win and every single blessing is a big deal to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even my L's, you know, like I'm not going to win everything and I'm not going to get everything. And some things are not even meant for me, but even those are blessings, you know, those are that it's preparation, you know, for something that is in store for me and something that is meant for me, because all of this is already written. What's for you is for you and will be for you, you know, because that's just what's written. So I have that mindset. So I'm overall just grateful for everything. And I have no regrets, you know,
because you've been doing this since you were a teenager.
Years.
I mean, you at first the choreographer and a dancer, a singer, an actor. You're going to start directing soon. What keeps you moving through all of this, through these different disciplines and pursuits?
My babies. You know, my babies, my support system, my village, my community. Like, you know, I love to make my people proud. I love to make my peers proud, my family, you know, I just love to make everybody proud. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps me going. Like, even right now, I'm also in culinary school. So it's just like juggling that, but taking that little moment to just be quiet and cook.
Yeah.
You know, and then feed my people. So it's a push that's like, we're almost there. You know, like it's a marathon. It's understanding it's a marathon and that is not a sprint. So it's just, it's a part of the faith walk. And I think that's what keeps me going, you know, to wake up and feel so blessed. How could I ever complain? You know, how could I ever be like, oh, this is too much. It is everything I've ever asked for, you know? So I'm never going to complain about answered prayers, you know? So what pushes me is just the reassurance from my support system, the reassurance from Father God himself. You know, the reassurance from my babies, they keep me going. That's who I do it for. I want to create generational wealth, you know? So them babies are my reason. They are my why, you know? Like, it's everything.
And then to start asking you about one battle after another, your character, Perfidia Beverly Hills, I mean, she's inspired a lot of conversation, some controversy. For you, was there something about that character that you felt you hadn't seen on screen before?
Yes. You know, Perfidia is complex and she is also misunderstood. You know, this is a woman who has been in survival mode, who has been fetishized, who has been ignored, not seen. You know, we're seeing this woman deal with that, you know, where in movies we're used to seeing us women have to be in capes all day. Mm-hmm. And then you see this woman rip this cape away and it's just unapologetically herself, even in her weakness. And even like you said, with the controversy of her sexuality, I think her sexuality is her armor, you know, it is also her power. She'll give somebody what they want to get what she wants, you know, and, you know, literally in the movie, she's made selfish decisions. But if you think about her spirit and mentally and emotionally as a woman, it felt good to see a woman actually be selfish and put her first, which we never really get to do because we have to be super this, super this, super this, whether it's a super mom, super wife, super woman, super chef, super, like everything is always with a super in front of it, you know? And you see this woman not really caring about what people think. Nobody can quiet her, you know? And in this space of women, they feel like, okay, you're too loud, quiet down. You stand too tall, have a seat. Perfidia is just all of the things that they can't make her do. It's like, I'm going to stand tall. I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to use whatever I need to use to get what I want, you know? And, you know, she makes decisions that we don't agree with. But I think one thing we all can agree on is that she's a badass, you know? And I can always respect anybody that's unapologetically themselves. Another thing that I feel like, you know, the controversy is proof of is how much of a non-factor postpartum depression is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half of the mistakes we see Perfidia make is her dealing with postpartum depression. You see the moment where they say, you know, Perfidia comes from, she's a runner. She comes from a long line of revolutionaries. That in itself is a pressure on her to feel like she got to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
So the revolution is instilled in her, is a part of her identity. So imagine getting pregnant and you feeling like, oh my God, does this slow down the revolution? Am I going to play house with a person that's ignoring me? You know, like nobody is really taking the time to like think about what's happening in her mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't control how a person handles postpartum depression. You know, we see and we hear, well, we hear her through the door cry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we see Bob put his ear to the door and instead of him walking in, he walked away, you know, and then what was the result of that? Her walking away.
Mm.
You know, and even if it had to be walking away from baby Willa, it's something that she felt like she needed to do. And that's what postpartum make you do sometime. And every mother handles postpartum depression differently. But I think that's what I love about her character, because you get to see like a harsh reality that I know is hard to take in. But when you watch it a few times, you understand exactly what's happening. And that's mm-hmm. the part that I'm like, I love when people, you know, really understand and they've seen the movie multiple times. You start to catch those nuggets. And I think that's what make the letter at the end so important,
yeah.
you know, because you hear the pain, you hear the hurt, you hear the regret, you hear the accountability, you know, like, do you have love? Are you happy? You know, will you try and change the world like we did?
Mm-hmm.
We failed, but maybe you will not, you know, and that's another thing. This is a story that PTA wanted to tell. It was Perfidia's job to go and anchor this boat and stay there and create the path for Willa to take on these battles, because, you know, her past haunted Willa and Bob, you know, but that's a part of Perfidia being supporting,
yeah,
you know, and supporting the next steps of what is for Willa. It's for Willa to, you know, to go on and to rise. So it was like, yeah, you see Perfidia in the beginning of the movie, you see her drive this boat, you see her get to the middle of the sea, and you see her anchor herself. And from there, you know, we have to continue the story, you know? So I'm happy that the controversy around her can create dialogue like this, can create healthy dialogue, or even uncomfortable dialogue, as long as it's dialogue and we're conversing and we're speaking and people are speaking from their point of views. I can absolutely respect that.
But now, was that a conversation you expected to have? Like when you were making the film, were you and Paul, or you and your co-stars, were you talking about what the sort of depiction of Black women in the movie was? Or have you been surprised that's been such a talking point now that the movie's out in the world?
Honestly, I'm not surprised of any of the talking. I think one thing that I said before the movie even dropped and we were doing our press junk is I was always very boisterous about the fact that this movie, period, not just the character, would definitely shake the table, you know, and it would definitely spark whether it was great debates or I love conversation, you know, and I like when we can converse and it's in a way that Great Debaters is one of my favorite movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love when people can, you know, get it off your chest. Like,
tell me
how you feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm open to receive that. So I knew that it would shake the table. I also knew that it needed to be done. Postpartum depression is a big thing for me that I feel like needs more light. It mm-hmm. needs more light around it. We need more solutions for it, you know? And like I said, you see this person, this woman in survival mode. You see this woman be ignored. You see this woman be, like I said, you know, fetishized. And I mean, is that not the truth? Mm-hmm. Is that not what happens, especially in this place of a Black woman and feeling the least protected? So it's just like, I'm really happy that Paul really put wings on that to be able to spread and fly with that, you know? And like I said, I know it's probably tough to take in, but that's what we got to see, because everybody is not wearing capes. Everybody is not handling things the way you may handle things, or the way I may handle things, or the way that person or this person may handle things. So we all just got to, you know, give grace and take in the film.
Yeah.
You know, it's a story that's being told, you know?
Because to me, one of the biggest surprises about the movie is considering how cohesive and complete it feels, to learn how improvisatory and collaborative the process of making the movie was. Were you surprised by that? What was it like for you entering into the process of making this movie with Paul?
I was shocked at how like collaborative it was. And I loved every bit of it because, you know, one thing about it is, again, when you are telling a story that someone wrote, you know, he's been working on this project for 20 years. Like, this is something that I consider to be his baby. And, you know, when you're trusting me to take on a job like this, I don't ever want to walk into any set and feel like I'm doing what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I just want to be of good support. You know what I'm saying? If you tell me, hey, let's find this together, I'm going to find it together.
Yeah.
If you say, this is my vision of what that is, like, and this is how I want it to be, it's my job to give you that vision of what you want it to be and then add my little sauce on top of it. But to be fully collaborative is I thought it was really dope. You know, we found Perfidia's layers and we color coordinated those layers. And I'm really happy that, you know, he let me be a part of that, you know?
Yeah. Is there something that you feel like you were able to bring? Like, what do you feel like you brought to Perfidia or you were able to add to the character of the movie?
Yeah, I was able to add a lot. Paul was very, very collaborative. And again, we found her layers, which was the most important, especially with such a complex character. And, you know, I just came from 1001. So I came from being another complex character. But this one was like complex to a whole nother level where we almost didn't understand why we never see Perfidia cry, why she never really has. You know, but you see these little moments, like little details in her face, that's just like, you know, it's this like this strength, but the strength, because I also like don't really love the term of like a strong Black woman, you know, it's this strength that you feel like she has to have, mm-hmm. because the strength is really survival mode, you know?
Yeah.
And again, like I said, you hear her crack down and you hear her vulnerable. And nobody stepped through that door.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see a strong Black woman, there is no grace. It's, oh, she's okay. She's fine. She got it all figured out. You know what I'm saying? And then you hear her vulnerable and you still feel like, even at her most vulnerable, she got this. She's strong. She got it. You know? And it's just like, step through the door. Step in early. Step in the first time. Hear me the first time. Mm-hmm. See me the first time. Wipe the first tear away. You know what I'm saying? Would she have walked out that door on Baby Rilla and Bob had he walked through that door when he heard her cry?
Hmm. And now I've heard you a number of times when you're talking about Paul. You always call him Paul. Let him cook.
Let him cook.
What does that mean?
Anderson. Because he, to me, is a master chef, you know? And honestly, you know, I'm very, very big on leadership. I respect the person that is a leader. You know,
mm-hmm.
and what makes it so dope is because, you know, with being in culinary school, you know, I originally signed up for culinary school, of course, to learn the art of culinary, but to just cook. I love to cook, you know, and I wanted to learn the art of that. But with being enrolled in culinary school, there's a lot of writing work and a lot of discussion forums and a lot of quizzes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So you're not only learning to cook, but you're learning how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning how to, you know, how to navigate your staff or front of house, back of house, back of kitchen. Like, you have to understand there's a whole system and how you handle people in general. You know, and in the kitchen, they call it like a servant leader, where your leader is in the kitchen with you. Mm-hmm. They're cooking with you. They're your mentor. They're your guidance, but they're cooking with you. They're not just pointing, do this, do that, da-da-da-da, boom, boom, boom. And it's just like his gentle servant leadership is something that I respect so much and something that inspires me as an upcoming movie director on how to handle and navigate my staff. So it's like the best of both worlds, because I have PTA and then I have culinary school who is teaching me how to be the best leader, even in how we handle people. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than just the people that work for us or with us. It's also the people that come into this restaurant, It's your customers. It's, you know, it's just the hospitality of it all, and the hospitality that he gives. And it's just, it's really amazing to see. So it's like, I'm in culinary, but I'm also a big sports girl. So even in regards to him being our quarterback, you know, he's not on a side pointing at what to do. He's on the field with you, but he has an even bigger job because now he's trusting that he's going to throw this ball to you and you're going to receive that ball. So we're his receivers. We're his wide receivers to take it to the touchdown. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's all about being present. And that's what I learned in culinary. It's what I learned in sports. It's what I learned in just everything about being a leader as I prepare to lead, you know, my village and lead my community. And that's just so important to me. So I always respect people that is in the field with you. I become a warrior for you. Mm. You know, you see Paul, you're running in the battlefield. You look to your left. He's with you. He's not on a horse. He's not on his high horse. He's in the field with you. Let's go. We got this. And it just make you want to go so hard for him. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I look at it. So I'm a student.
Mm-hmm.
I am a teammate. I am a soldier. I am a warrior. You know, like that's what I am with people that are great leaders.
Mm. And then when you won the Golden Globe, your speech was so moving.
Thank you.
And you specifically spoke to your brown sisters and little brown girls and that their light does not need permission to shine. Mm. Can you talk a bit more about that? Like, what was it that made you want to, like, say that in that moment, specifically talking about this movie?
I thought it was a very important moment on a very important stage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to use my voice and I wanted to use my platform. And in that moment, I had the voice and the platform to say just that. It's nothing less than that. It's nothing beyond that. Exactly what I said. We deserve space.
Yeah.
And that's just that. And what that night showed was that here's the space, you know? And I appreciated that. I was filled with so much gratitude. And it's just, that moment hit hard for me because I was that little girl that sat on the floor on a TV watching, you know, the other queens on stage accept their awards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can do it too. You can do it too. And I knew that one day when it was my turn, I would tell, you know, my little queens, you can do it too. Mm. All the little queens that look like me, you can do it too.
Yeah.
You know, you deserve space. Like, it was just a moment that was just like, you know, and just to know that also my daughters was watching as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, it's everything to me.
Hmm.
It's everything to me. And it's everything for me to know that they embrace that as well is so important, you know? And I gotten so many, you know, women come up to me like, wow, that speech was just everything, you know? And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, to inspire, uplift, and you know, just remind us that there is space, you know? And yeah, it's that was everything to me.
Mm. And now, before I let you go, I just want to ask, you just bring it on red carpets time and time again. And the one thing I like is that you wear these really bold outfits and it never looks like the clothes are wearing you.
Thank you.
It really is about you. Do you have tips for people? Like, what do you do for sort of like confident personal style?
Honestly, follow your heart. You know, follow your heart. If you see it and you like it, put it together. You might put it together and be like, that didn't work the way I practice, you know, play in clothes. I love to play in clothes, but also will walk in the store and redress a whole mannequin. You know, I will also be like, I like that tie. I think it should be a little bit tighter. Like I'm just like a pourer, you know? So when I can see other things, I dream about certain outfits. I dream about certain moments where I'm like, ooh, I already know what I feel like I want my Oscar dress to look like. You know, I already know what I feel like I want my Golden Globe dress to look like. It's just like, it's always a vision. Or sometimes you might have a base. You might see something and be like, I like this, but I feel like it could use this. Add it. If you feel like something can use something, add it. Because before you know it, now you done created your own thing. So, like, don't hesitate. When I was young, I used to hesitate and be like, this look pretty cool, but now I'm not going to do it. Mm. And then later on, I see somebody try it, and I'm like, oh, I should have just, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, always follow your gut and always follow your heart, you know?
Well, now I can't wait to see your Oscars dress.
Oh, my God. Stay tuned.
Well, Teyana Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Mark.
All right, that's it for this episode of The Envelope. Make sure you tune into our next, where we'll hear more from Mark. And he had a chat with Amy Madigan. You don't want to miss it.